It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. It is Tuesday, and boy, it's the 1st of August already, Shane. Wow, what are we doing here anyway? Jeez.
It'd be the end of summer now.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here. Excuse me. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. This won't change your life at all. Inflation will still go on. You'll still be overpaying for everything. Gas will still be expensive, but you'll be subscribed to us. And ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment, because YouTube likes that kind of stuff. And if you like to support us monetarily, we would appreciate that very much. And there's a link in the description below where you can do that. And you'll get some interesting and noteworthy help from us. And we also do this on StreamYard. So if you'd like to commit, or if you'd like to commit to doing these like we do, it's really easy to do, and there's a free link to the description below on how to do that. And Shane and I both write on medium.com. There's a link to our articles in the description below, so you will certainly want to check that out as well. medium.com. And today, when will the big rock hit Earth? Shane, we're going to talk about asteroids, meteors, comets, whatever. Some of these things are pretty good size, and we're just a little ball floating in space here. Is it inevitable that sooner or later one of these big rocks is going to find us?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, the rock we're on, and became a water planet because of comets, which are ice, frozen ice that pounded the planet. And, you know, our atmosphere was from asteroids and meteors that pounded and minerals to pounded the planet, you know, for billions of years and, you know, laid waste to the planet, adding a lot of what, you know, the planet has. So if it wasn't for what we're going to talk about today, we wouldn't have the rock we're living on. But the last one was like 10 kilometers, 6.2 miles in diameter, 66 million years ago, which in space time is like a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And everybody believes and accepts it, you know, it hit in the Yucatan and Chicxulub crater, which they discovered back in the 50s in Chicxulub, Mexico, right off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula, the I guess we call it the East Coast. It, you know, it was an extinguishing event, and it wasn't that big. But, you know, the remarkable thing about these rocks, and only for content, is that... you know, now they're saying we'd require a 60-mile wide, asteroid or meteor to hit the planet to create an extinction event. I don't think that's necessarily true. And you know, there's always been warnings of near misses. The closest one of size, was 400 miles. So, it's sort of like throwing a basketball from Miami to London and, you know, no net, you know, like sinking it. It's the same thing as, you know, sending a rocket to Mars. It's really a remarkable accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, everything is kind of, we one of the things we want to talk about is the asteroid belt, and that's between Jupiter and Saturn, I think, where all these things, they're all kind of in orbit. So they're not just flying around nilly-nilly. They're kind of in their own path, but we're moving, they're moving. You know, you can always, I guess, get in each other's way. But
fascinating thing about our solar system is there's only four rock planets. Mm-hmm. You know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. Those are the first planets. They were, it's believed, created either because of their size initially, or from the gravity that was generated. So because they were so close to the sun, they sucked in more rocks, and then they were pounded by, you know, asteroids and meteorites and comets. But the fascinating thing is the other planets are all, they're all gas giants. They have no hard rock center. They're all frozen centered. So Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, all they're just a mass of gas with frozen ice, helium, or different, you know, different types of frozen centers. And the fascinating thing about the asteroid belt, between Jupiter and Saturn, is that their gravity, because even though they're gas giants, is, and the distance from the sun, maintains their attachment to to all these rocks out there. And then, you know, you have the Kuiper belt. The Kuiper belt is the outer solar system, and the most famous rock there, of course, was Pluto, which was determined, you know, back in the 90s, not to be a real planet. But the Kuiper belt is where, you know, hard rocks, so, you know, asteroids, meteors, come from. And a meteor is a smaller piece of rock running through the our solar system, and it becomes a meteorite when it enters our atmosphere. And you know, that's, you know, that happens half a dozen times a day, and in a meteor shower, which we've all watched as kids, you know, several hundred, and they burn up in the atmosphere. It's quite wonderful. It's a fun thing to watch. Yeah, it is.
Well, we also mentioned comets. Those are flying balls of ice, I guess. That Halley's, I guess, is probably the best known one. That comes every 90 years or something like that.
And again, you know, the comet comes from that ice part, or that belt around, you know, the outer center of our solar system. And, you know, it's considered a solar system body, is what they refer to it. It's not big enough, of course, to be considered a planet, and or, you know, even an asteroid of size. But the interesting thing about them is that they have an elliptical orbit around the sun, and because they're made of ice, of course, closer they get to the sun, the more outgassing or melting they have. At the speed they go, it lights up, and and friction creates a tail. And you know, because of light, we can see that from the Earth. They're sort of eccentric, right? Because they have elliptical orbits, right? But there's not that many either.
Comets are somewhat rare, and it's always amazing to me that there's enough gravity that, like I said, Halley's comes, I think, about every 90 years. So it came by here a few years back. I guess we were all treated to it. I forget what year it was, but, I don't remember, but quite a sight watching this thing flash across the sky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a niece named Halley because that was the year that she was born. And, this story we're telling and talking about today is important for a couple of reasons. First, it's in the news all the time, and people, flirt with it. I mean, man has his, I don't know, strange, you know, passion about destruction. But the James Webb Space Telescope just lit up. I mean, it's quite fascinating because the James Webb Telescope was launched the 25th of December 2021, and it didn't arrive in service till the 12th of July 2022, the last month. And of course, the difference between this and the Hubble telescope is the Hubble telescope, well, first of all, it's smaller, but this is a infrared telescope. And it allows it to see more. So when they finally turned it on, oh my gosh, what the comparison was unbelievable. The mirror on it is 21 feet. Hubble has a glass, telescope. So it is, it's only 7.10 inches, across. But what came out of that, I mean, you know, it was overwhelming compared to the Hubble Ultra Deep Field. And we talked about this because the Ultra Deep Field, you know, it came about in 2006 because it took a NASA scientist like 6 years to convince NASA to point the Hubble telescope at a black point in space. Mm-hmm. And finally they did for 11 days, and it basically covered an area about the size of a, you know, hole on the end of a McDonald's straw. That's not very big. I mean, you're talking small.
Pretty small, yeah.
And the pictures were just astronomical, literally billions of galaxies. And and then with James Wood on the 12th of July, when they started releasing pictures, same issue, dark spot of the sky, but it was able to, because of infrared, to have a clearer picture. And the result, of course, now is twofold. Not only is there more than what the ultra deep field in Hubble showed, I mean, massive, like by thousands times thousands. But the other thing is how far deep into space, giving them a reality that you got to wrap your head around. And here's the reality. It goes so far, and the distance, as we know in time, from 14 billion years ago, when man believes the universe began with a major event of some kind, these are so far away that astronomers and geologists and even archaeologists are looking at this, and they're overwhelmed because they're looking at the future and past, meaning this is the future, but all this stuff is older than us. And so we're seeing stuff being created. We're seeing stuff existing. We're seeing galaxies destroyed, galaxies being born. And so the amount of analysis is going that they're going to require because now of the James Wood telescope is just it's going to be a lifetime. It'll take them 1,000 years if we're around to, you know, decipher what all this means.
That's for sure. Yeah. Bruce corrects me. Kaylee's comment, every 75 years. The last time was in 1986. Thanks for that, there, Bruce. We appreciate
that's it. Right. That's when Haley was born. Yeah.
Yeah. So there we are. So, quite a feat there. But the universe is really hard for us to comprehend. And when you talk about that telescope, the thing folds out. it's quite an amazing piece of equipment, man.
It really is. And you know, it was launched by, the European Space Agency, which is a major accomplishment. Of course, the Americans worked with them to build it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're talking about a 21 foot diameter by, 431 feet focal length. That's a big piece of equipment. I mean, it's 273 square feet. That's almost as big as an apartment I live in.
right. There you are. So, it's pretty big. So, and you're right. The things that the telescope is looking at, because of the speed of light and how far away they are, what you're looking at may have happened, thousands of years ago, millions of years ago. A billion years ago. Who knows? It depends on how far away it is and when. That's right. Bruce wants to know, my question is, when will the next rock hit?
It can hit at any time. Because our solar system is so young.
Yeah.
What the other thing we've learned about the James Wood telescope is that we're on the edge somewhere of a universe. We don't know which edge, we don't know if we're on the East Coast, West Coast, whatever. But the fact is, our solar system, clearly, from what they're learning, is, ultimately affected by all these other universes out there. And being that we're a plate universe and spinning, there's so many things within our galaxy that can affect us, and it could cause, you know, some kind of outer solar system event, you know, a larger, smaller planet size of Pluto coming along and blasting through the Kuiper belt, and, you know, even in into the asteroid belt. And, you know, it's like, it's like a, you know, pool table. I mean, you know, we could be rained on. All I have to do is look at the moon with, through a telescope and see all the craters. I mean, that's, yeah, that's basically what the Earth looked like before. And, you know, we got all the ice and water on our planet. If it wasn't for water, we wouldn't
have we wouldn't be here. Well, and the other thing about the moon is we don't know what the other side looks like.
it could be worse. No, it's the same. It's been rotating and taking. But the other thing too is the gas giants: Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Jupiter. You know, they've taken a lot of incoming, so to speak, right? I mean, we've seen that in the past years, you know, where that one asteroid hit Jupiter, it broke up into three pieces, and everybody watched in fascination because of the Hubble as it struck Jupiter. So, yeah, it's a pretty wily thing. It's a fascination of what a miracle is. You know, you walk outside your door, look up, and everything's a miracle because, my gosh, in an instant, from a natural extinction event occurring on our planet, which we've talked about, volcano or earthquake or something of that nature, it could be a rock.
Well, yeah, that's where we find ourselves. So maybe some final thoughts, Shane, on these things. So,
well, it be happy when you wake up every day you're alive. I mean,
that's for sure.
I worry about it because of health issues, but, you know, when you read this kind of stuff, it's like, oh my goodness.
I'm 90 miles from Yellowstone, so we're more worried about that blowing up than we are probably about
that's way overdue, as we've talked about, you know, 600,000 years, and geologists have claimed, you know, based on their study of rock layers and all around the planet, you know, that it should be about every 600,000 years. So
it can go any time.
Whether that's tomorrow or 10,000 years from now.
Yeah. Well,
baby.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the other thing too, Shane, there are preparations that have been made in case something comes toward us. We can fire things at it, whether it will deflect it or blow it up or whatever is anyone's guess. You know, we've all seen movies about this where, you know, the destruction, total destruction of, you know, the Earth or whatever is happening, and they all get together and try to fire nukes at it or whatever.
That's right.
Or they send somebody up to land on it and plant nukes on it. You know,
determined the Yucatan asteroid, you know, 1,000 years. I mean, everything was gone within a year. Like all life on the planet was gone within a year. Yeah. It's an amazing thing to realize, though, however, when you look at biology and the study of the oceans, I mean, sharks, particularly six-gill sharks that are very deep, and whales that go deep, you know, they've been around, the shark's been around for 400 million years to survive. That's a long time. I want to be a member of that species.
That's right. Yeah. You're there for quite a while, aren't you? So, all right. Hey, we've got to remind you, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us. If you haven't subscribed already, please do that. You can click it in the lower right-hand corner there on your screen or below the screen, either way. And we would hope that you would do that. And we want to remind you that Shane and I both write on medium.com. So check us out. The descriptions are in the descriptions and are below our links to our writing. I'll get it in a minute. So, all right. That's going to wrap it up for us. So, thanks for watching, and we'll see you on Thursday, 10 o'clock Mountain Time.